something I was thinking of. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Won't be long or anything. This is just some we're looking to Paul. Remember, he's our pattern. And we've been through the book of Acts a couple times, actually. And you look at the book of Acts, and you can see Paul's pattern of life. One of the web fan wrote the other day and said, maybe we shouldn't spend so much time in Acts. I didn't know I was spending much time in Acts, but he wasn't referring to me. But he said, why should we read Acts? And he said, Paul, you're right dividing good guy and the whole bit. And it made me think, well, I'll tell you what, Acts is full of stuff. It's not a confusing book. It exposes the Great Commission. It exposes false gospel. It shows the transition. And it tells us what was going on when these books were written. Why is there so much emphasis on tongues in Corinthians? Well, that was an early part of Paul's ministry when he was with a flock of Jews, or a bunch of Jews. I don't know what you call more than one Jew a flock or whatever. I don't know what they're called. But anyway. And you do see at the end of the writings, at the end of Acts, why he said what he was saying. But you don't decide what is and what isn't. So, anyway, the pattern, if you go back and you see how Paul lived his life as he was preaching what he was preaching, we scaringly see that will happen to us too as we preach. We can see that if we're going to teach Paul to people and the risen Savior, I want to make sure you say that when you talk to people, then we will see that the life pattern that Paul experienced in the book of Acts will happen to us as well. You know, to a point. We know that the modern Bibles tell everybody to imitate Paul. Not follow, but to imitate Paul. I have no desire to imitate Paul. I have no desire to have happen to me what happened to Paul. But those same Bibles say that they should imitate Christ, too. Imitate Jesus, too. Then they also say to imitate God. So, we know where that goes, but apparently they don't. But there's a story in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that I recognized while we were driving out from Tushy. I'll say it again, and we'll talk about it a lot, but one more time today. We left a church of people that we knew. Sure, there were problems, but there were some blessings, there was some growth taking place, there were some battles. All the stuff that takes place was taking place, so whatever. But still, we drove away from some people that we probably won't ever see again. And after 2 or 3 years in a teaching job, that isn't all that difficult to leave for the next town, the next job. But after 13 years, it was very difficult. And we may see some of them again. They all talk about coming out, but we'll see. And we left the security, if there was such, of a church, a local church, and people. There were people to preach to, and there were people to, you know, all the things that were there. And we were driving away from that. And we got to Salt Lake City. It wasn't so bad because our kids were there. We got rid of our hair dog, so that wasn't so bad. Got to see the grandkids again. Then we got into Nebraska, where there was a sign that says Native Land to Rattlesnakes. That was kind of an interesting sign. And as we got further and further towards the east, I wasn't thinking, oh boy, we're getting closer. I was getting closer to MRSA. I'm looking forward to this. I kept thinking we're getting further and further away from the people that we cared about. And not complaining about here at all. I mean, that's not the point. It's a joyous thing. It's exciting to see where this is going to go. I'm looking forward to it greatly. But I realized in my whinings, you know, because I used to write my sermons on the lawnmower. Now I can write my sermons driving a U-Haul truck for 5 days or whatever. And I got to realize that I'm experiencing what just about everybody on the website has already been through. They've all had their churches. They've all had their teachings. They've all had their friends and their fellowships and their activities as a family. And they all gave them up to sit down behind a computer and watch, if they watch at all. If they're going to watch, it costs them $60. But if they're going to listen, it's free to what we do. We're not any organized church as such. We will be in due time, not the modern kind. But they gave all that up. They gave up their friends. They gave up their church. They gave up their place to go on Sunday, which is meant as American, as apple pie,
baseball
and hot dogs and peanuts in church. I said, that's an American thing, is to go to church on Sunday. And so, or Saturday if you're from the Northwest. But they gave all that up. And I know, I could tell you names right now of people that do not have any other friends other than the website when they get together with us on Sunday or they watch the videos later or whatever they can do it. I mean, they have no other friends, zero. And maybe that's even the case with you guys, but zero. And they don't have the building to go to for church. They don't have somebody to play piano and organ so they can sing the good old hymns. They have to sing them a cappella. And most families, the dad is the least of the bunch to ever do any a cappella singing in the family. We're always the shyest or the quietest. And it just misses so much of what we have been rooted into to where we are addicted to church. And so our people out there, that we have a lot of people, believe it or not, we got 2-3 families here, but there were 15, I think, this morning, and there's maybe 100 or so that we'll get into it eventually over the time of the next week. So we really still have a lot of people in our group of what we're trying to preach. But still, at night, when you're tired and you have nothing to do, or you have plenty to do, but you just don't want to do it, and you want to go do something with somebody of like taste somewhat or whatever, you're not going to have to deal with a music issue. You don't want to have to deal with an immodesty issue. You don't want to have to deal with the kids crawling under the table during church. You don't want to have to, you know. These people, that works. All right. These folks out there that already have experienced this for the last 1 year to 2 years to 3 years to 5 years, and I think Clarence and Hugh and some of those guys go back to 2003 with us, and even before we started to get into the Paul thing. I've had one man come and go and then come back because he talked to his pastor, thought the thing was silly, went away, came back and said, this is totally what it is. And they didn't come back because of our church design, obviously. They didn't come back because of our fellowship. They didn't come back except for the preaching of Paul. So all they get out of that thing is the preaching of Paul. I was hoping that the website folks would be able to write to each other and get to know each other. I'm hoping we can upgrade the my emphasis on the website people to get them. I know what they're going through. My point is, I know what they're going through. I didn't know that at the time, beforehand. So it made me think of this. I'm not the crying preacher, by the way. I don't do that, although I have lately. But I hate those guys who pull out the hank and go, oh, you just need to give more and go away. I'm saying, because it's going away. My chairs are for it. But anyway. And this Alexander the Coppersmith, I think, has got some lessons in them. Maybe we can even see them as we read through it. Because I don't have a whole lot prepared. But see, Paul was forsaken at this time. And like I said in this morning service, there are people that I know, not just in one place, but in different places of the country, where I know that they eventually forsake Paul. They go away from Paul. And I know Jesus Christ is our Savior. And one of my first problems I had was I talked about Paul all the time. Well, we're supposed to follow Paul. These are Paul's writings. So there's nothing wrong with that. But to the average Joe and Jane blowhard out there, that's like crazy. They've never heard such a thing. So yes, we're following Christ. But we're following the risen Christ. And the only way we can know about the risen Christ is from Paul. As God revealed his son to Paul, Paul then revealed his son to us through a King James Bible. And so, yes, we're following the risen Savior. We're following the teachings of the risen Savior. And once a person realizes the doctrine or the joy of the risen Savior, all that he has done for us, they love it. I mean, it's the greatest thing that they've ever heard of. It's just the greatest thing they've ever heard of. But once you get into the teachings of the risen Savior that he knows will please God, then people forsake Paul. They don't want that stuff. And they'll, for some reason, they'll go back to try to follow the teachings of Jesus, which really there aren't that many. If you go through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, there's not that many direct teachings from Jesus compared to Paul. Paul tells us in more detail what it is to please God in our walk, and see Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, and all the different books have some small things in it, but the big ones. And that's usually when they forsake Paul. What I'm recognizing right now is a group of people that are forsaking Paul. And they're doing it to get people to come. That is, I'm going to put this online. That is so wrong to do that. We could get more people here this morning. We could have got some of those guys here this morning if we'd have come up with some kind of a gimmick or some kind of a something or other to get them to come. We could have done it in the afternoon after their church services. We could have had a Tannerite Bible convention or something. We could bring your guns and bring it. I guess explosives. We can do stuff to get people to come. But to get people to come to hear Paul, the preachings and teachings of Paul, which are the preachings and teachings of the risen Savior, we're living in a day and age when it's going to get worse and worse. We know that. For they will not endure sound doctrine. And it doesn't say that they can't. It says that they won't. It's a choice. And we recognize in Romans, I think it's 5 or 6, where Paul, 6 I think it is, the two different times about asking, should we continue in sin? One of them, no, we can't continue in sin because he's taken sin out of the picture. A marvelous thing. But the second half of that chapter is really talking about us sinning. And yes, we will continue to do wrong. Our flesh, as Paul did, will fight us all the time. So we get mad at people when they do something wrong, and really, we're all going to do something wrong. We just don't need to get so prideful that somebody else isn't going to do something. It's when they hurt other people, or they hurt the truth, or they hurt the Lord's testimony, or they hurt somebody's testimony, or God doesn't get the glory out of the deal, or it's going to be a false teaching, now we've got a problem. So when things get tough and the preaching gets tough and detailed in our individual families, which it will, I just tell people, listen, when you read your Bible, do you read Genesis through 2 Thessalonians and then you pick it up again in Revelation? Or do you read to that other stuff? You know, because you'll read it as much as I'll ever preach it. That's the stuff people don't want to hear. So they'll forsake Paul. And I realize that when Christ died, and he was arrested, all the disciples forsook him. Forsook him, and went away. And there was one guy, this young man in Mark, I think it's 16, is Mark 13 or 14, he came along, and he tried to hang on to the very end. And he finally, it's all it says, well, here's one or two verses about this one guy that came in there and tried to stay there with him, and he ended up leaving. So, what we're going to talk about this morning is Paul being forsaken. Not the Lord, but Paul being forsaken. And this Alexander the coppersmith is a good, to me, it's a good illustration, is our pattern of we know what can happen. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Actually, we can start with verse 4, I guess. Not verse 5, sorry. Where's my pencil? Right here. Chapter 4, verse 5, where Paul says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Don't be an evangelist, but do the work of an evangelist. And evangelists aren't famous for building churches. They just need to tell the truth. And if a person is going to tell the truth today, sound doctrine, you're probably not going to get much of a church built, but you can find some people that will want to hear. That's what Paul's talking about. Make full proof of that ministry. Do what you need to do what's right. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul he's done. In all ways, he's going to be done here. He says, I fought a good fight. I hope that we can say we fought a good fight, not a bad fight, not the wrong fight, but a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Don't say my faith, I kept the faith. And it's not that he could lose it, it's just that he kept it and he told other people about it. So his faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, continues to this day because of Paul's teachings and the King James Bible. Otherwise, nobody knows anything about the faith of Christ. Zero zilch. So he says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But he's excited about that. And not to me only, but unto all them also let his appearing. Now, 2 Timothy, talking about the rapture, there's comfort in hearing about those words. It says there's 2 Timothy 4, 1 Timothy 4. There wherefore be comfort one another with these words. So, Paul's going to go, and he's going to see the Lord. Now, either we're going to go in a rapture, or we're going to die. Either way, we see the Lord. Amen. And if we look forward to that, if we love that appearing, then there's that crown, which, by the way, that's the only crown we got coming.
Sure.
This five crown stuff that I heard other people preach and teach is wrong and divided. They get that from other parts of the Bible and stuff. So the crown that we're looking for is a crown of righteousness, because we love His appearing. Not because we've lived righteously, not because we've done everything perfectly, we know everything, and we've been a great witness, and da-da-da-da. No, it's because we love His appearing. It's not about anything else but His appearing. Do we really want to see Him either appear in the rapture, or do we want to, when we die, go to see Him? That's what he thought. That's what he wants. Paul loved His appearing. And Paul's already seen it. He's already been face-to-face, already talked about these things, and been through the grief, and well, so have we. We've seen Him here. And face-to-face. A study in the Bible shows us that when God is talking about face-to-face, He's always referring to our words. So this is face-to-face with the Lord. So He says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. So, you know, get to me, come see me. Now, why is that? Well, here we go. So He's done. And look what he sees. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So they've all left. Now Demas has gone off to the world there. Only Luke is with me. And then take Mark, who wasn't there, but take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So Mark, no criticism there, other than he's not with who he used to be with. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So these guys all have a ministry. They all had places they had to go, other than Demas into the world. He says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. Bring his cloak back. He left it there. And the books. We must have had some writings or whatever. But then he says, but especially the parchments. That's all it ever says. So I believe that would be the Word of God. Paul's writings and what he was writing down, and it's not a King James Bible as such, you know, that kind of a thing, as they all say. But here we go. With all that setting the territory, Alexander the coppersmith, here comes this guy that did Paul much evil. Much evil. And Paul even says, give him what he deserves, Lord. The Lord reward him according to his works. That's a pretty hard thing to say. Okay, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. What this guy was against, what Paul was talking about. And we're going to find that we know people that are against what Paul talks about. That's the writings from Paul. They're not against the King James Bible. They're not against Christianity. They're not against God. They're not against anything, but they're against the words that Paul speaks. And he says in verse 15, be thou ware also, meaning this guy is going to hurt somebody else. He's going to hurt somebody else. So we've had these people that we've talked to, they're against our words of Paul, and they go out and they bash. Remember the couple that did the thing and got drunk and they did all the things they said. I mean, those people that don't like Paul's teachings, for some reason, are so anti-Paul that they will do everything they can to bash us and you and Paul's words. Mm-hmm. And yet, they'll still go to church. They'll still try to even, some of them will even try to be modest. And they'll continue to do their little church-going thing, but they will fight the words of Paul to the very end. And verse 16, At my first answer, this Alexander guy says what he says. And Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. I mean, boom, right off the bat, they're gone. It says, but all men forsook me. Now, Paul says something that I can't say very well. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I'm not good at that. I should be, I guess I should be. He said, no. This guy, this man, this lady, this family, these people, this town, or this whatever it is, are going to destroy your words, Lord. And I pray that it be laid to their charge. That's how I would be. That's why I make a lousy God. I would not have done what God has done. Not only does he, no, he even paid the price himself. I can't do that. So the first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Do we realize that in this little community and the communities around here in Dayton and Lima and that kind of thing, there may be nobody else who's going to get this stuff? It's very possible, it's highly possible that nobody else is going to get it. Is it going to be our fault because we didn't say it right or didn't live it right or whatever? No, because increase is of God. We are to plant, we are to water. I'm preaching to myself because if we do that, that's all we can do. And my frustration and your frustrations will be when they reject it. Or when they go along with it, then they forsake it. They go back to the Baptist thing. Or somebody comes back that doesn't believe it. And there's so many ways you can forsake the words of Paul. You can say something like, but we still need to follow the whole Bible. No, we don't. The whole Bible is there for us, but it's not all to us. James is not to us. Jude is not to us. Peter is not to us. They're forsaking the very words of Paul when they go to those books to try to put those into their life by their hunting and choosing there. So we're going to see a forsaking, we already have, a forsaking of Paul, because Paul says in Corinthians all his teaching should be taught in the church, every church and everything. So it's already been forsaken. But we're talking about the time here where Paul is done. His actual ministry is going to be done here. And right off the bat, people forsake him. And here comes this guy that badmouths Paul's words, and they all take off at Paul's first answer. Can't you stick around for a couple weeks? Can't you stand with Paul for a couple weeks and tell and try to stick up for what you know to be true as Paul's teachings? No. The first moment you get a chance, you forsake what Paul's taught you for all those years. Biblical example. I tell you, this Bible has everything in it. Every pattern of our life that we're going to go through, it is in here somewhere. And I know what somebody's going to say. They're going to say, well, see, there he is. He's doing what he's always done. He's always picked on us personally. No, I'm showing in this Bible that there's an example of a pattern of life that when Paul both gets out of the picture, nobody can stand with Paul. There's a biblical example. So nobody's being picked on here at all. He says in verse 17, that here's where Paul steps up now. He says, notwithstanding. Paul is full of those kind of words. He'll say a little, he'll teach something, then he'll have a big word like notwithstanding or whatever. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Oh, amen. And strengthened me. Amen. That by me, is that arrogant? That's not arrogant. That means Paul has already met with the Lord. He knows what has to be taught. He knows his calling. He knows he's supposed to talk to the Gentiles and tell them what he was told. So yes, that by me, the preaching might be fully known. Now, if we can do this enough to where this community or the people around are the best that we can, we fully did our best. The preaching might be fully known. Then what else can we do? Then he says, and that all the Gentiles might hear. This community needs to hear about Paul and the risen Savior. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now that just pops in there. That smells a little bit like tribulation, doesn't it? The roaring lion seeking whom may devour. And we know that, I don't remember the verse at all. It talks about Paul was hindered by Satan himself. He wanted to go to Macedonia, I think it was, and he never got to go at one time because Satan hindered him. My point is this. Paul did not make it to where he was going to go. Satan didn't try to hinder him. Satan didn't slow him down. He actually kept him from going to where he needed to go. So, Satan is that powerful. I mean, we saw it yesterday with all the different things that took place. If that thing with that particular person totally bombed from here on out, I don't know what else to say other than there was a circumstance that I was involved in. There was a circumstance that he handled poorly and didn't tell me who. The whole thing has got ramifications of criticism. No, the devil does not want this guy to hear what he's been hearing. And then your phone dies out at the last second when you're trying to explain this. You probably think you hung up on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of different ways you can go. The devil can actually stop Paul's teachings from getting out there. And we can struggle and fight. You don't suppose Paul really fought hard to be able to go where he wanted to go, but Satan hindered him? So he didn't even get to go. Don't you suppose Paul really tried hard to get there, though? He never did. He actually stopped him. So what can happen? So, when he says here, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, we know who he's referring to here. So, this mouth of the lion apparently must have something to do with this Alexander. The mouth of the lion. The devil was using this Alexander guy to do evil to Paul. And he withstood his words. And yet it says in verse 18, now the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Look at Philippians 4:9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. And you'll see the summary of all that Paul has to say. Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So all those things that we've learned from Paul, received from Paul, his walk and learning from him, and heard and saw in his life, those are the things that we're to do in our life, to follow Paul. Well, obviously, those are the things that Alexander was against. Those are the things, obviously, that the devil is against. Okay, if you've read enough of your Paul books, you already know what the devil doesn't want to happen in your life. He doesn't even want us to have grace for other people. And I have a hard time with that at times. So my flesh wins on some of those things. It's going to be a struggle here to do what we need to do. And it's very easily that we're going to be forsaken through the whole thing. And back to my original point was, the website people have been forsaken by their friends and family, by their wives, by their husbands, by their children, young and old, and they to me are a great testimony. Not to me, not to Touche Baptist Church, not to the website, but to their Bible and to their reading of Paul and learning from Paul, because that's all they've gotten. They have not had a church family to encourage them. They have not had pastoral encouragement. And the letters that I receive and the letters that I read, these people are going on Paul only. I mean, they're basing their Christian walk on Paul only. They've had to leave their church. They've had to leave their friends. They had to leave their family. They have nobody. There's even a couple of single guys. There's single ladies out there. And they're standing with Paul and Paul only. On a computer. On audio. And that's why in verse 17, we're going to have to say to ourselves, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. What do we have that these people didn't have? We got a Bible. We should be strengthened. And by us here, the preaching may be fully known, and that all the Gentiles here somehow will hear what they need to hear. Now look at verse 18 still. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Now, has he delivered us from every evil work today? Not on this earth. Not physically. But we've already been cut away from our flesh. So we've already been delivered. But during the rapture, or when we die, at the judgment seat, we'll have all the evil works that we did burned up. So yes, we will be delivered from every evil work. We already are and already will be. Remember that verse this morning? He delivered us, doth deliver us, and will deliver us. So we sit here this morning already delivered, We're in the process of being delivered, and we will still be delivered, even though we will be forsaken. And I just wanted, that's all I have to say. I just wanted to mention that I now understand more what the website people are going through, and now some of the folks back home, if they do what they believe to be right, they'll have to make that decision. And we'll see if they will. We're addicted to church. We're addicted to fellowship. We're addicted to activity. But we're not addicted to the truth yet. Verse 20, just a side light here. End of Paul's ministry. He leaves somebody, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Here's a guy that was a great healer. Now he leaves him sick. So, times change. And he says in verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Now, Merrill and I haven't experienced winter in a long time. 13 years, actually. 14 years, I suppose. So I'm already thinking. See, I think I have about 20 cans of propane fuel in the garage out there for when electricity goes out and it's cold. I want to get the coats. I'm going to prepare for winter when it comes, because we're going to have one, I'm sure. But a winter, when it comes to the truth, people are going to be cold. People are going to be hard. And we will be forsaken. But we have a Bible. We still have a preacher. We still have men that want to preach. We still have preachers. We have the truth to tell people. There's people that are out there that want to hear it. We just don't know where they're at. That's all. And we just have to be used to find them, knowing that most of them are going to forsake us. And it's hard when it's people you care about. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Amen.